Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code, 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
And we started into it, and I didn't want to rush some of the things that are in this, but his prayer was that they may all be one, right? So that he was going to the cross. You know, this was no mystery to Jesus at this time. He knows I'm going to the cross from here, and so he's making his way across there, and there's this prayer, and he prays that we would all be one. Now, there's a lot of division, if you will, that Jesus sees as he's heading towards the cross. Jews and Gentiles, separate. Okay? He understands the rest of the world. He created it. Okay? He understands. There's people over here in Mesoamerica that have not heard the message, and so the message is to go to them. You know, and they're separated. They're separated geographically. We don't know they're there yet. You know, the people that he's preaching, they don't know there's people over there. That there are rich and poor, male and female, bond and free. I mean, there's all this division, and he prays this prayer that they may all be one. And in this prayer, he speaks to the Father about the things that have been given to us that would make us all one. All right, and so just to very quickly go through, you know, what we talked about last week, you know, as we entered in this, there's these various things, but to recognize that Jesus, in having this included in the gospel, gives us a rather rare opportunity to know what Jesus prayed for us, right? And that in that, as a matter of repentance and walking in faithfulness, we have the opportunity to be partakers, to enter into being the answer to Jesus' prayer. We also have the opportunity, you know, as would be the case, you know, to be those who actually work against it. You know, there was some that Jesus wanted, we're going, sorry, it's a little too tough, no thanks, all right? That they may all be one, right? That there be no divisions amongst them. Somehow or another, this faith has produced thousands and thousands of denominations, many of whom won't even speak to each other, right? And so there's something wrong, you know, in the harvest, right? And there's and it's time that we recognize that, you know, I don't know, I may not be the person who's going to bring the worldwide revival that changes all this, but how about if I just bring the local revival, at least in my circle of friends and acquaintances, where, you know, this, that they may be one, is at least going to be answered in you know, where I am, okay, or where you are, where any one of us is, that what if we just decided to be one like Jesus said? So, you know, he starts at this beginning point, all right, and he says, look, I have given you eternal life. And so, I mean, anybody who's a follower of Jesus Christ, anybody who's put their faith and trust in him for salvation and by grace through faith has received this gift has eternal life. And so I am one with all my brothers and sisters in the Lord because we have all been given the same eternal life. You know, and I may look at that person, I might have all kinds of doctrinal issues with them, and I may not like, you know, the way they wear this, that, or the other thing, or maybe they're too starchy for me, or I'm too wild for them, or whatever, but, you know, it's just, but to understand, you know, we all have families, right? Well, I hope so anyway, you know, so, but anyways, because otherwise, where do you come from? But anyways, but yeah, we got families, and, you know, and we all have, is anybody here named Larry? No, you got Lorenzo, that's close, but not a Larry, okay. Everybody got a weird uncle there, you know what I mean? You know, and it's like, but he's still family. Right, we don't renounce him as family because there's things we don't like about Uncle Larry, okay? So Uncle Larry comes from when I was a photographer, and there was always, whenever you did a wedding, we used to call him Uncle Larry. He was the guy that, you know, you're trying to get this nice, sweet little candid like this, and you sneak up and like this, and Uncle Larry sneaks up like, hey, he's taking a picture, everybody, look! You know? That's Uncle Larry. So anyways, but you know, but we all have family. And you know, every time you have a family gathering, you know, it's like you're talking about how do I keep my blood pressure down and all that, right? You know, so I mean, you know, there's that aspect where you have, you know, just people that, you know, and but so anyway, so in the body of Christ, to understand that there may be people that, you know, rankle me a little bit. Maybe people just really outright bless me. But we're all one. I mean, Jesus' prayer was that they all may be one. All right? And those of you that are getting older and you're watching the family kind of grow under you there a bit, you know, it's not always easy. You know, sometimes the siblings have, challenges amongst themselves. All right? Things that, your role then becomes to pray and trying to see if you can't find some way without making it worse to make it better. So he said, look, there's something else I did. He said, I gave, Father, the words that you gave me, I've given to them. This is not just in some kind of, figuratively speaking, this is the word of God. No, these are God's words. Jesus gave us God's words. Right? Now, I think there are some things, you know, within the word of God, the whole Bible, that stand out as being things where Jesus is saying, the Father told me to tell you, and I'm telling you, that those things, I think, in particular, we really need to give more, you know, to paying attention to that. You know, what did Jesus tell us to do? All right, we're followers of Jesus. Do we know what he asked us to do, and are we doing it? All right, and so this prayer, just before he goes to the cross, it's not the last prayer he prays. He goes to Gethsemane, and he prays. But with this really wonderfully detailed prayer, he says, the words that you gave me, I gave to them. And so he says, take that word I've given them and sanctify them. Set them apart for yourself, Father, with the word that you gave me that I gave to them. And then he says, look, you know, you sent me into the world, and now I've sent them into the world. Okay? But he didn't send us as little, separate little, you know, he sent us as one. Right? There was something he was doing, and we were to be one. There is one body, the word tells us, okay? That we're not divided. There's one body. You know, foot can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Right? Okay, so we are one. That they may be, all be one. Right? Now, we could turn this into, you know, figures of speech and stuff, but wait a minute. I think Jesus is being very plain here. To be one. All right? So, we got as far as, I can't remember exactly how far we got. So let's just keep going. So, but we share the experience, okay? We share the condition, even if you don't quite connect with the experience yet, you share the condition that as a person who has received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It is the Teen Challenge scripture, all right? If somebody's been to Teen Challenge, ask them if they know that scripture. They don't know. They weren't there. Or they were there and they were paying attention with it too. But, So we share this experience of being in. What does that mean? What does it mean to be in Christ? I got parts of it, but I don't have all of it. Okay? I think it's something where it was something that Jesus gave. He talks to the Father about it like it's just like, yeah, you know, just matter of fact, like he'd say, you know, I cut the lawn and they're in Christ, you know, and you're in me and I in you and they in me and I in them. And, you know, and I remember the first time I read that, I'm going, what on earth is he talking about? You know, and I've been a Christian for a while, and I'd had this experience where Jesus was doing something in me, okay? Where it was something that I was not manipulating. I'm very aware when I'm manipulating things with my mind, okay? Sometimes I don't become immediately aware. It's sort of like 5 minutes after I become aware, but I very seldom get through something without realizing, yeah, that was me. But this was not me, right? In fact, something that, you know, that I was praying about, and God was doing something in me to change me. And I started reading these scriptures that talked about him dwelling in us by his Spirit, him being in us and us being in him. I started realizing that I understand. I'm not going to understand this, am I? It's just going to happen, right? Yeah. Okay, so this experience of that my life is no longer this little separate thing that's over here, and then I have to decide from that place over here what I'm doing about Jesus. No, I mean, it's all right here. It's just like, you know, the decisions I'm making in the presence of a God who's desired to make me his temple, to dwell in me. And so he's there, he's active, he's doing things. He's revealing things to me. All right? There's times where I didn't know. You know, you went through one of these at work, you know, where, you know, she had this kind of like employee kind of situation going on, and, you know, and the meeting gets called, and she walks in, and they're just blasted. She's getting blasted by somebody and everything, and the Lord's just working, and her just tells her, shh, 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 you know, don't, the less you say, the better, you know, and it was, you're experiencing being in Christ, and Christ being in you, you know, this experience. Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been in more meetings where I had to lean over a person, just let them empty their guns. Yeah, 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 so, yeah. And in fact, when they get done, sometimes you say, are you sure that there's something more you'd like to share? You know, yeah, yeah. Let them make sure they're good and empty, you know, and then let's see what the Lord does, you know, and yeah, and God worked, right? And this experience, you know, and this condition that I am no longer alone. I remember feeling very alone. I remember being suicidally alone, you know, where, I mean, I just had lost hope. You know, but now he's there. You know, he's dwelling in me, and I'm, and sometimes it's hard to tell if he's in me or I'm in him, but I just know. Yeah. The Apostle Paul, by the way, on this issue, says, I know a man in the Spirit, you know, years ago, you know, and I don't know if he was in the body or if he was out of the body. And they're pretty sure he's talking about himself, okay? And he's caught up into heaven, you know, and there are many times when God is doing stuff when, you know, the scientific details of what's going on may not be evident to you. But it is undeniable he's doing something. You know, you've heard me share the story from the steel plant. I am today your pastor because Christ was in me, okay? Because I was getting ready to pour some steel, and all of a sudden, somebody called, an angel called Jesus. I don't know what you want to call it. It don't matter to me. I don't understand. It just happened. I get this shout from inside of me, jump, like this. And, well, you know, when you're in a steel plant, you're pouring steel, and you hear jump, you jump. Okay, so I leap back like this, and the boss who was standing next to me looks to see what's going on, and all of a sudden, the mold that I was pouring goes like this and covers the place where I was standing in molten steel. Yeah, so, I mean, that was an experience. I'm not alone. Right? And by the way, that happened 2 weeks again later. Same kind of circumstances, similar, but I won't go into all the stories all the time. Got to save them for, you know, just so that everybody doesn't. Isn't that about the 10th time he shared that story? You know, but they're illustrative. They illustrate things to us. You know, but this experience of just him being there. Okay? If you're not experiencing him being there enough, next time you get into one that's way over your head, call out for him. All right? Jesus got takeout service. You can call, and it comes. Okay? And, you know, but next time you get in that one, it's over your head. Call upon him. Call upon his name. He's there. You know, just so you understand, it isn't like calling to the other side of the universe and hoping somebody hears. You know, there was somebody who was talking about God as they perceived him, and I know he's out there somewhere. You know, and it was like, no, no, he's not that far away. In fact, Paul talking to a bunch of pagans in Athens says, he's not far from each one of us. All right? In fact, he reflects on one of their times in history where they were in trouble, and they actually got down to, you know, offering sacrifices to unknown gods, hoping they'd find the one that they'd offended so they could fix what was going on. And he references it. He says, you know that God that you worship in ignorance? I'm here to tell you about him. He's not far. You know, this is, you know, all it takes is from a sincere heart to call upon him. In fact, I've seen people who weren't even that sincere, and God answered anyway. Right? But call upon him. Because he's here. All right? And if you're one of those people that have received Christ this morning, and if you haven't, I want you to understand, it's not like, well, we'll put you through a 10-week study and then we'll work on you receiving Jesus. No, I mean it's he's here, all right. And we're just gonna pray. And if you've never received Christ and you said, I'd like to have Jesus alive in me, I just want you to pray this with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent your Son, and I pray and I confess to you, I'm a sinner just like you said. And I believe that you sent your Son to be my Savior. I believe that he went to the cross and died for my sins. And I turn from my sins and I ask you to come into my life and live in me so that I can live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you could come to that faith even without the prayer and be saved, okay? Just praying about it, just a fairly effective way of guiding you into it. But if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to understand something. Jesus came into you at that moment. All right? And now, It's the walking this out, all right? Because this is part of what makes us one, all right? You know, Janine, she's here, and I'll use her as an example, because if you're here, you're game, you know what I mean? It's like, I'm sorry, if you got to sit way in the back rows or something like that and wear a hat or something if you don't want to be used as an example. You've tried, I know. But, you know, you went to Israel for 10 years, all right? And you ministered to Jews and Muslims and Christians and non-believers and just, and basically what it was is that you didn't observe boundaries, okay? And there are other people with you that didn't observe boundaries, right? And you wouldn't be separated, and you went as people who understand what it is to be one, you know, with Jesus and with one another, and you just ministered. You know, it didn't matter who they were, because they're all people that Jesus died for. They're all people that God was trying to reach, and we're one, and so we as one are trying to win that whole world to Christ. Okay, so this experience of being in Christ is that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. You know, there's a lot of religions out there, and I remember this one guy at Teen Challenge said, well, yeah, but you know, you're like really sincere people, I see that, you know, but like I know sincere Buddhists, I know sincere Muslims, you know, how am I supposed to know, you know, who's telling me the truth? And I leaned into him and whispered to him, I says, it's simple. The Holy Spirit only bears witness to the truth. And I says, and what we're telling you is the truth. And he thought about that, and he went upstairs to bed. He came down the next morning. I do not know what God did to this day, but he came down and he says, I'd like to pray with you to receive Jesus. It was like, okay, you know, but yeah. So, okay, we have his name, all right, John 17:11. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one even as we are. All right? 17:26. I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. All right? And see, you know, Jesus was asked this question. Okay, what are the greatest commands? What are the greatest things God has ever asked us to do? The most powerful statements of this, of what is it that God wants from us? You know, he's shown the old man what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? All right, well, if we can get it any simpler, they asked Jesus this question about the greatest commandments, and if you've been around here long, you know the answer to this question. He said, you know, because they thought, we'll trip him up. No matter what commandment he names, you know, we'll be able to, you know, get him tripped up in an argument here. He said, you know, you shall love the Lord your God with all your soul, mind, and strength. He says, and the second commandment is like it. He said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so he says, on these hang all the law and the prophets. Everything that was revealed to you in the law, everything that was revealed to you by the prophets was for this purpose, which was to guide you into the love of God. God loves you, to love him back, and then take that love and love one another. You want to know how to be one? That's how to be one. All right? That your first priority is to manifest the love of God to people. And, you know, our doctrinal differences is a great conversation that might go on until eternity. You know, what if our differences of viewpoint in the end were just that? You know, I remember being in a class, and I won't say where, but anyways, and it was all believers and everything, and we were talking about some point of doctrine, and there was an article, like and or the or, you know, something like that, and I misstated it, put the wrong article in there, and they said, oh, and I was supposed to be this, and I said, oh, like, you know, like it was no big deal, and he goes, oh, you don't understand, there are some churches that you would not be able to serve in a position of leadership in if you don't have that article correct. Long pause. And I didn't know what to say. I thought to myself, if one of my kids wouldn't receive his brother because he had an article wrong in a statement that was, no matter how important the statement is, I'm just sort of saying, I'd be more disappointed that they were separated than proud of him for sticking up for the doctrine. You know, now, doctrine's important. Please don't misunderstand me here for a moment. That I'm not saying that doctrine isn't important. But I do not see in the scriptures that whether or not we are to be one hinges on whether or not we agree on every point of doctrine. I don't know that we ever will. All right? So maybe there comes a point where we have to recognize this person as part of the family, and understand that we may disagree for a long time. And I saw this in action. And I will mention this school because I'm saying something nice. Okay? Which, when I was at Elam, we had amillennialists, premillennialists, and postmillennialists all teaching at the same school. They had some lively discussions, and then they went to church together. All right? They had some interesting disagreements, and then they prayed for one another. All right? They had gotten a hold of something at that school about what it means to be one. Now, did they have it all down, all fixed? No, I mean, I know they didn't, all right? Because I know there was some other stuff that went on that we won't talk about, because I only say nice things about people out loud. Well, sometimes that's not true, but... Yeah, all right. So, well, at least from the pulpit, I try to be kind. So this word name, okay? Now, I like Albert Barnes, this is actually from... Oh, you know, I said Thayer. You know, it isn't Thayer. This is Albert Barnes. Yeah, I was off schedule and doing crazy stuff. So, anyways, the word name here includes the attributes or character of God. Jesus had made known his character, his law, his will, his plan of mercy. Or in other words, he had revealed God to them. The word name is often used to designate the person. I've given them your name. I've given them a place to know you. I have given them a place to speak for you. To tell somebody, you know, I've been in situations where, I remember this one, she was 50 years old, and she was somewhere where I was, and it happens, people just start telling me their life story. And at some point, there was something that her father had said to her that had near about destroyed her life. And at 50 years old, still brought tears to her eyes to remember this word from her father. And something rose up inside of me. I'm not afraid to get close to people, right? Okay? And I came up and I said, I have a word from the Lord for you. She looked at me and I said, he had no right. I said, he lied to you. I said, because that is not the word of God concerning you. And boy, the tears came, healing began. You know, that there are times when, you know, Jesus gave us his name. You know, there's just this time. If I know him, if he knows me, if he has commissioned me to go out and to spread the gospel and teach people to be obedient to the things Jesus told us, if he's told me to love in his name, you know, then I can step into somebody's life. And I'm sure at the widow's group, and I'm looking at the cheering section for this, but I mean, but it's like, but you know, I mean, there are times when somebody just needs to hear a word from God, but their heart is not attuned. They just they don't hear from God the way they should. You know, maybe they've just gotten so convinced of something about themselves that just caused them to not be able to believe that God actually could love them and accept them. That, you know, and you've got to speak through that and tell them different, right? And so he's given us his name that we might be one. All right? That we might be one. That they may be one. I've given them your name. I've given them your character. Right, that your love would be at work in them, and that when they reach out and when they touch people, when they speak to people, when they go to the restaurant and somebody waits on them, or you know, whatever it is, you know, I mean, that wherever you are, just to be able to do this. Now we fail, right? Don't give up when you fail. Yes, ma'am. Wow. Wow. Yeah, think about the significance of that. Yeah. Yeah, the idea of a name. You know, that a name is powerful. Yeah.
So you're proclaiming that over, even to this day. When I went to Israel, they're like, what is your name? What is your name?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's where, if you notice me with, some of the people in my family, there are names that I call them, you know. And anyways, and it's like those were intended to impute something. Yeah. Yeah, whether it was your given name when you were born or just something that I call you now or whatever. And that it's just like, you know, that there's this thing that's there. And yeah, but again, he's given us that name, right? You know, the name above all names. He's given us this name, you know, and there's sermons that would grow from this, okay? But let's keep moving. All right, but thank you. That's very, it's great. I can I put that in my notes in my here? Yeah. I take notes too. Thank you. Okay. All right. And this idea that we have is glory. We have the glory. We have the splendor. We have the dignity. I got this out of the dictionaries that they have in the, that go back to the original languages. The splendor and dignity that belongs to someone who, oh dear. I occasionally, you know what I mean? You just make that G into a C. Yeah. No idea. How did Grist? No, it's Christ. Okay. That, you know, so it's dignity that belongs to someone who belongs to Christ. All right? And so the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. In them, I in them, you and me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. See, this idea of being the evidence that Jesus actually came. Well, how do you know any of that's true? I had a friend who used to say, well, I look at what I was, I look at what I've become, and I believe. You know, I see what God did. I mean, there's not a big question for me here. But this... we're the evidence that this Jesus really is the Son of God. I mean, he could just be something we believe in, you know, and somebody believes in Santa Claus and they're a better person, you know, and so I believe in Jesus and I'm a better person. You know, could just, you know, we could just, but no, that's not it. That's not it at all. Because, you know, this is something powerful that he's done. He's given us this glory, this radiance within us that works in us, all right? And what it is that it causes us to be able to be one and to love one another in a way that causes people to say, there's no way that would happen except that, you know, God must have done something here, all right, so that the world may know that you sent me and you loved them even as you have loved me, all right? To see the love of God at work in a person's life. How many people have ever been impressed with a Christian who was able to forgive somebody who'd harmed them when you're not sure you could do it yourself, you know? Yeah, you'd be surprised how powerful that is in the lives of unbelievers. I've tried to dig out the original story because it was a true story from ancient times. But these people that have been held by these soldiers, for a long time in this courtyard, trying to decide what to do with them. And one day, you know, whoever it was, the emperor or whatever, came in and just told the captain of this guard, he says, just go through and kill them all. And so, you know, the soldiers do their job, so they went through and just killed them all these Christians. And anyways, many years later, it was 10, 20 years later, this guy comes into, this church or mission or whatever, and says, you know, I want to receive Jesus. And it said, well, good, but, you know, they're a little suspicious because he's a soldier, you know, and they, well, but why? And he told him the story, and he says, I never saw people die like them. And he talked about the love and forgiveness that they were expressing to the people who were killing him. Now, let's bring that down to the daily lives we're living. But I mean, can we love? Can we love people who offend us? Can we love people? You know, I mean, this thing about this glory, you know, at work in us so that people can see and say, the only way I can explain what's happening in you right now, what I see happening, what I'm receiving from you, is that it must be God doing it. It's got to be God doing it. All right? And so, but this is an inward rather than an outward glory. All right? That... I don't want you to get this idea of kind of like walking around with this kind of halo kind of just humming around behind me, you know, just kind of like walking in the room, you know, the lights go. Yeah, that'd be a great, you know, fantasy stories are like that, you know. But in reality, you know, the Word tells us about this stuff over in 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure, this glory. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. How many people have ever been through the struggle where you're trying to tell somebody about Jesus and they're more impressed with you and don't seem to want to believe in Jesus? Okay, you know, I mean, what it is that God's desire is to keep us fairly plain so that when they see this power, they know it's not from us. It must be God. The surpassing greatness is of him. All right? And you met the lady from my neighborhood that used to want us to move to Vermont with them because they're so impressed with us. And it was like, no, it's Jesus that you're seeing. All right? And they eventually came to the realization of what we're saying was true. So Jesus was praying about the fulfillment of a great promise. All right? So, and I'm going to make you wait till next time, and we'll get into this, okay? Because I'm looking at the clock and realizing I was having more fun than you were. So, but I don't know. How do I know that? That's true. I don't know. You were looking at the clock. Yeah, that's right. You weren't looking. Yeah. Okay. So, it's easy to say from the front rows. Anyways, but I want to pick this up next week, all right? And that'll be right before I'm taking my sweetheart for a 40th anniversary trip, and that's like, if you know my family at all, you can ask them. We don't go anyplace, right? So anyways, we're going to go, and so we're going to have some fun, and that's a good thing. So, I just want to leave you with this, that what Jesus is talking about here is not something he thought up on Thursday, okay? This is a promise that goes back, way back in Israel. And a call that God has had on Israel to bring the salvation of God to the whole world. To the whole world. All right? And that it wasn't to end with them. That they were to be a light to the Gentiles. They were to spread the salvation to the ends of the earth. All right? And so what I want you to see is that what Jesus is praying as he goes to the cross and the joy that's set before him is the realization that promise is going to be fulfilled in him.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.